Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal, comic books, movies, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out.
Metal Geeks.
Here are your hosts, Carrie and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas.
Hi, this is Koi Pham, artist for Marvel, and you are listening to Metal Geeks with Carrie Gordon and John Michael.
All right, welcome, my geekazoids, to episode 4 of Metal Geeks. I am Carrie, your fearless leader.
The fearless leader. I'm John Michael, the other guy.
You're still the court jester.
Yep.
Not jester, but jester.
Yes. I have many
and
of them.
And we have a special guest with us tonight, and that would be the ball on my chain. That's my wife, Kimu
Bourguer, whatever you like.
That's right. Kimu, we wanted to bring her on.
That was my screen name back in the day, Kimu Bourguer.
Yep, or River Dragon.
River Dragon, yep.
We wanted to bring her on tonight to get a female perspective on being a geek. And she has some interesting things to say about some of her favorite TV shows that we will be talking about later.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's good because I don't really watch TV, unless it's specific shows, so that's good.
So you moved this past weekend. How'd that go?
It was nice. It actually got done within the actual move. We were able to get most of the things in one day, but going back and do the cleanup work was, taking the last couple of days. And I still have my scooter over there, but I'm trying to get rid of that. But otherwise, it's pretty cool. This new place is really cool. I have a backyard now, and
wow,
I dig it. It's quiet.
Bet your dogs are loving that.
Oh, yeah. Every day now, I take her in the back, and she plays with this Pilates ball. It's big, nice. Way bigger than she is, and she's crazy about it.
Speaking of Pilates balls, I didn't really use a Pilates ball, but I went to a workout at a sort of like a dojo, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place called a Bushibon. It's a type of karate that this guy has started, and they have a whole bunch of different, dojos. I'm not really sure what to call them, but they have them all around. And a friend of mine is actually an instructor there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on my health kick, my diet kick, trying to get my weight loss, kicked back into gear. I've been stuck for a little while. So he's like, hey, why don't you come and do one of my, come to one of my classes.
Was that the guy that was in the Facebook page that was saying to come on out and it's on him?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's him. I've known him since he was about, 14.
Very cool. Yeah, since high school.
Yeah, since high school. And he just had a kid, too.
Wow.
He's in a local band called To Scale the Throne, a local black metal band. I've known him for so many years due to mainstream resistance. But, dude, he kicked my ass last night. I'll tell you that much. I have muscles in my body that are hurting that I didn't even know I had.
Does he do a lot of CrossFit? Is that what...
I don't know. I don't really know what CrossFit is, but we had like a punching bag with a weighted bottom with water in it,
right.
So it was very heavy. And we did a lot of kick moves and a lot of punching moves. And at one point, we had like this bag underneath between our legs. We had to keep our legs closed around it to keep it closed. And we were punching it at one point, and there's a couple things we had to do. We had to elbow.
Oh yeah, it's ground and pound.
And
man,
when I was
that's
elbowing
MMA.
It,
it's MMA training.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Cool.
And I was hitting the bag so much, I started ripping the skin off my arm. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that is good.
No, not really. I hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah, and that's that's one of the things about working out. A lot of people get mistaken thinking that, oh, I gotta join a gym in order to be fit. I'm not involved in any gym, dude. I've lost 25 pounds and just doing stuff around here. I do burpees. I was telling you about that on Facebook, which is actually a very effective way.
You'll have to explain burpees to me later, man. and I get that after I drink a lot of soda.
Yeah.
Not well, the same thing?
It does burn your... Could be, because you do digest a lot faster. So it's right. You basically can burn 50% more of your body fat, you know, doing burpees like than you would running 5 miles. You know, it's seriously, it's really that effective. And, you know, CrossFit basically is exactly what you were doing. You know, just keeping constant motion, keep all your muscles going at one time.
I worked out for maybe like 20 minutes, man, and man, I was sweating more than I did when I do 45 minutes on the elliptical at the gym, you know?
Right. And, you know, one of the things that, like I said in the last episode, I'm an uber MMA fan, and I don't look like an MMA fighter or anything, but it's, you know, something you pay attention to whenever you see a fighter who's lean, extremely lean from their last fight. Yeah. That means they've been hitting the bags a lot. So when that means they're going to be going into the fight looking to start striking somebody. So
it's a tried and true method then.
Absolutely. I mean, if you really want to shred some weight, do some burpees, CrossFit, and just pound the hell out of a bag.
Yep. That's what I was doing. And it was working. I mean, since I started my diet maybe, a year and a half ago, I've lost close to 100 pounds, and I gained like 5 to 8 back recently, so I'm trying to get that back down, you know?
Yeah, that's not bad, though. I mean, everybody has a plateau, and then they start losing it, you know, and then they get back into it. So you'll do better.
I hit that plateau because, I mean, I was still working out, still doing all that stuff, still running and all that, but my body just stopped. It's like, nope, we're good where we're at. Hey, actually, you need to gain some of that weight back. I'm like, no, yeah. I don't want to. So I had to, I guess, really shock my system back into something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the key, man. You shock your system, and you do things to keep it constantly shocking it, and it'll start saying, oh, shit, I got to keep working, you know?
So that's not very geeky.
No, that's okay.
Fitness and health.
No,
and...
geeks need to be healthy. You got to remember that, you know? It's important because sometimes, like me, I can be a lazy fuck sitting at the computer all day, you know, and, you know, it's important. If you want to continue to be geeky, you got to be able to live longer.
That's right. We're talking about comic books and playing video games all day. You still have to work out and keep yourself going, man.
Yep.
That's why I got so, you know, overweight before, because I did it.
Yeah.
And now I have to.
Well, you know... Got to get rid of the belly. You know, I got to be able to fit into cooler shirts, having to wear like these.
I know.
You know?
That was one of my main goals for losing weight. Well, there was two main goals. Three, okay. One, to be healthy. Two, so I can fit on any roller coaster in the world that I wanted to. That was a very prominent factor for me. And three, I want to go to a concert or go to a store and go, I'm going to buy that shirt in extra large or large. And I have to worry about it fitting me.
Right.
I used to go to concerts. I'm like, I don't know. Do you have a 2X? No? Well, I don't know if that's going to fit me then, you know?
Wow. Yeah. So. That's great, though.
That was a major factor. And now I have a bunch of shirts that I can't wear and slowly building up my collection again, you know?
Yeah.
Like today, wearing my Avengers
shirt. Oh, yeah. That's the one you said you got at Universal, right? That's cool.
Yep. Actually, I had a buddy of mine who was just in Universal this past week, and... he's picking me up almost the same exact shirt. It has like the distressed X-Men logo.
Sick.
And it's
that's
blue.
That's cool.
This one's red. The Avengers shirt is red. If any of y'all are, we'll have to take a picture of these shirts because they are pretty awesome. And I got a chuckle from the laugh gallery over there. What's up?
Oh, I agree. They're pretty cool. You know.
Now, did
okay.
Was your buddy, your friend, whoever it was, were they at Celebration? Star Wars?
No, I don't think so. I think they just went to Universal Studios. I think we were with family or something. But yeah, I was keeping up on Celebration, what, 7 or 6?
I'm not sure what the number of it is, but I had a friend that was out there actually for one of the days. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Said it was really awesome. One of the coolest things he said that he saw, apparently Make-A-Wish Foundation has a lot of involvement with it, and if you look on eBay, you can find some of them. basically, it's a bunch of kids who have cancer, and you know they create these
right.
Boba Fett masks, and they do variations of it. You know, so like some of these kids actually, there was one in particular where I think he was hunting an alien. The alien killed him, and has its helmet. You know, as you know, has the Boba Fett helmet on, and it's like little green alien legs.
Right on.
And if you get close up to it, they actually have a little bit of a, that's like a little video screen, and somebody helped those kids figure out a way mm-hmm. to make a video of, you know, the Boba Fett hunting the alien and then the alien killing him. So like you can see it from the first person view. It's kind of cool. And they're going for like,
that might be my next tattoo is
they were going for like $18,000 to $20,000. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Boba Fett, there's a tattoo guy that's coming into town to my local shop, and I'm probably going to interview him when he's here, but he's part of the 501st right. in Arizona, and he does a lot of really cool Star Wars tattoos, basically. One of the ones that I'm in love with, we'll have to post a picture in our show notes somewhere. He does this Darth Vader Day of the Dead type of oh, it's so awesome. And he's actually going to start looking into doing a Boba Fett one for me.
Nice.
I've talked to him. He's going to start it when he's here this time and then maybe finish it later.
Very cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll have to post a link to that picture because it's one of the coolest tattoos I've ever seen in a long time.
You got me wanting a tattoo. I actually kind of want to cover up the tattoo on my left arm. I don't know if I've ever shown you it, but it's...
No, you have not.
Pretty cheesy tattoo, but...
Oh, wow.
I actually kind of want to cover it up with a Venom spider, so it looks a little bit more detailed, you know?
And that'd be cool.
Rather than tribal.
I do have one tribal tattoo as well. It was a free one back in the day, so I would like to get my whole leg covered up eventually, but, you know. Oh, speaking of Celebration 6, I do follow a guy. He has a podcast that I listen to religiously, and we'll talk about that in another episode called Inside the Magic. And he was there I think 3 out of the 4 days, took a lot of pictures. And my favorite picture of that whole weekend was about 50 slave Leias sitting around this big, giant Jabba the Hutt. And in the very front was George Lucas and a dude who's goes by the name of Chris Gore. He used to be on Attack of the Show. He still is on Attack of the Show. Dressed up as Slave Leia sitting on George Lucas's lap. funniest picture ever, man. I'll have to post that to the show notes somewhere.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So
let's get into the show.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh,
there,
it's
buddy.
Okay. No, it's this whole Skype thing keeps cutting in and out. It's weird.
Oh. Let's get into some heavy metal news to begin the show off properly. I thought this was pretty interesting. This is sort of heavy metal and TV news at the same time. Veteran hard rock bassist, I love how they don't call him a heavy metal bassist, James Lomenzo, he was in Megadeth for a couple years, Black Label Society, Dio Disciples, White Lion originally. He's set to compete in the new season of The Amazing Race, which is premiering September 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Weird.
I thought that was very interesting that a metalhead is going to be on that show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's kind of cool.
Finally, we're represented.
Right. Yeah, totally, man. Dude. It's calling my wife man and dude over here. It's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty
wild.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I might even... Have you ever seen that show?
I have. I actually watched, I think it was the last season, we watched the last show for whatever reason it was on. We randomly watched it, and it was kind of cool.
Interesting. I'm probably going to check it out, and probably until he gets kicked off or something. I don't really know how the show works. I've never actually truthfully watched a whole episode, but...
Well, they're given...
You know, it's cool.
They're given tasks to get to certain points, and... Say you have a team. It's a team of two, so he's going to have somebody
right.
on his team. And
I believe he said, the article said it was his manager.
Okay. Well, that's good because the manager will keep him in line. You know, somebody, that's right. somebody like that can...
As they should.
Right. And basically, they'll get a... I'm trying to think of like a game that you could play that would be similar to it. But basically, you get clues. And you follow those clues. You don't necessarily have time to really make a mistake. Because if you don't know an area, and what they have no idea where they're flying to, so they could literally be going from, like, say, Houston, Texas, and they could fly out to freaking Cape Cod and have no idea where they're going. And they're giving these clues, the geographical clues, to try to find the next clue. And if they miss a step, they have to go back and do another thing. So, yeah. So it's pretty
so
cool.
So a lot of traveling involved on that show, huh?
Oh, it's the entire show is traveling. I mean, I think the one that we watched last time, the last show we watched, they were in some other country. And they had to do these weird slides that were handmade by the natives. And, you know, they had to do it on their belly. And if they kept messing up, they had to keep going over and over again until they made it down there without falling off. It's pretty wild.
Okay. I might have to check that out. I don't have a lot of time to watch any more TV shows that aren't already on my to-do list, but
yeah,
I'll watch it. I saw him live with Megadeth a couple times, so he got out of Megadeth while the getting was good, apparently.
Clever.
Hey, calling him like I see him.
Broderick's in there. He's awesome, though.
Yeah, Chris Broderick is he's an amazing player, but I don't know how he deals with Dave Mustaine.
Yeah.
True.
I sort of lost a lot of respect for him and that band after what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of hard for me to get over.
I was thinking about that today, actually. And I was thinking to myself, God, what an idiot. And literally, a song came on my iPod, and I was like, this guy is an idiot.
Right? He just needs to play music and shut the fuck up. Don't talk, dude. Don't talk.
Sometimes they just don't know how to shut up, you know?
Right. So, there's a new band I wanted to talk about, and I know Kim over here will be excited for this. I'm totally excited for it. There's a new band called Ashes of Ares. Have you heard of this yet?
I have not.
This is the new band featuring Iced Earth members, former member, Matt Barlow on vocals.
Yay!
Yep, Matt Barlow is finally back. Freddy Vidales on bass guitar, who I believe is still currently in the band, and along with ex-Nevermore drummer Van Williams.
Yay. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yep. The name of the band is called Ashes of Ares, and we will send another link out there to the internet, the interwebs, somewhere. On our show notes, and we'll link, because they put out a couple teaser trailers so far, and it sounds really good, except they give you like 5 seconds of Matt Barlow's voice, and it fades out. I'm like, oh, no, I want to hear more.
You know,
sounds really good, though.
Anytime I hear the name Ares, I always think of God of War. It's like, Ares!
Right, yeah, totally. You need to get a PlayStation 3, my friend, and pick up that collection that came out today.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I was told today that I need to game more, by the way. So,
if you're going to be part of the show, you need to game more.
Yeah. my girlfriend was listening to the shows today, and she said, you know, she sent me a text message. She said, you need to game more. So, my girlfriend's encouraging
that
me.
That is a keeper right there.
Absolutely.
Do not get rid of her. Love her with all your might.
Oh, I already do, man.
But there you go.
You know, she mentioned to me that I need to get that Walking Dead game that we were talking about. So I'm pretty sure I'll be getting it.
Right, we'll get into that during the video games because the new episode came out and I'm excited for it.
Okay.
So another thing I wanted to talk about, Steve Harris has a solo album coming out.
Interesting.
Of course, I'm talking about the mighty Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. I didn't think I had to say that, but there might be some people out there who don't know who Steve Harris is, just by hearing his name. I'm really excited for this. It's not going to be Iron Maiden.
Right.
It's what he's saying. It's, in his words, it's more mainstream rock than metal. Very 70s influenced and quite commercial, but a good commercial. So I'm excited to hear something from that. The album is going to be called British Lion.
Oh, so that'd be kind of cool. Now, thinking about it, if he's going that route, yeah. It could be kind of like Zeppelin sounding a little. You know, that was kind of...
Well, he's basically... Yeah, I think that's what he's going for. He goes on to say there's all kinds of stuff going on with nods to The Who and UFO and some classic British rock bands, but it's not the progressive rock album some might be expecting. Good.
Nice.
I don't want him to put out another Iron Maiden album.
Right.
I don't want Bruce Dickinson's solo albums to be Iron Maiden. They're not.
Right. Yeah.
We were actually... the wife and I were actually jamming the best of Bruce Dickinson in the car for like 2 days this weekend.
That's a great one.
Yep.
I
Tears of the Dragon, one of the best songs ever written.
I actually love playing that song. I finger pick it, and it's one of the funnest songs to play, actually.
It's a great song.
Yeah, there was an acoustic really version good. Of it that they did on TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was amazing.
I've heard that, yeah. Really good song.
He's
the only bad thing about Bruce Dickinson being in Iron Maiden, he doesn't do enough solo stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's unfortunate. Did you ever hear his cover of Black Sabbath's Sabbath Bloody Sabbath?
I believe, I know I've heard the Anthrax cover of that.
Bruce Dickinson fucking nails it, man. It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh,
it was incredible. I'm going to have to send that to you.
I bet he regrets covering Black Sabbath now after what happened on Ozfest.
I'm certain that.
I want to file this under some good news. One of my favorite Finnish bands, melancholic dark metal forerunners, Amorphis, are going into the studio in September to record their yet untitled 11th album. And guess who's producing it?
Posse?
No.
I had to put him in there.
No Posse.
I'm a Posse fan, sorry.
It's no less than Hypocrisy and Pain mastermind, Peter Tactron.
Awesome.
We were just talking about Peter Tactron in the car earlier tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. He is the man.
We were talking about, I made a posting earlier about who we think are our living legends. Not just people that play well and play their instruments well, but people that write amazing music, and the music wouldn't be like, the same without them. I picked out three or four.
Like Devin Townsend?
Devin Townsend is definitely one of mine. The other one I picked was Arjen Lukensen from Arion and all of his stuff. Michael Ackerfeldt. Definitely a living legend. I really love the shit that he did with Bloodbath, and then, you know, Opeth. I mean, even the newest stuff is
right.
It's still good in my book.
And a lot of people don't like it. The work that he did with Ihsahn is incredible. You know,
yeah,
I'd say he's one of mine, actually.
Good. I'm glad we agree on that. There's one more that I really forgot about, and that'd be Tobias Sammet from Ed Guy and Aventasia. Love that guy.
Ed Guy. Yeah, I'll see. We said it at the same time. Ed Guy. Funny.
Ed Guy.
Ed Guy.
Ed Guy.
Ed Guy.
It's contagious.
It is contagious.
I'd have to say Bruce Dickinson. Bruce Dickinson, by far, you know, he's...
Okay.
His like you said, his solo work is incredible.
I would agree on that.
If you go back and read, I mean, I don't know if he wrote all the lyrics, but the storytelling in his songs were phenomenal. You know? Shit. I'm not really even sure, man. That's a hard thing to ask. There's one musician that is very successful as far as a genre, but he's not sitting up pretty and he has a real job, you know. It's Scott Hull from Pig Destroyer. You know, his efforts within Nosebleed and you know, he's worked with so many other bands that, you know, he is one of the legends of grind, you know, in metal in general. And
I think that the topic we're talking about right now, living legends in metal, I think it'll lead to a very great episode of MSRcast in the future.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea.
Yes.
And another episode that I have in mind while we're talking about metal on Metal Geeks is the next episode of MSRcast that is coming out will be called Geeky Metal. We have picked out some songs, and we're still working on the playlist of songs that are based on something in the geeky realm of something, either be based on a comic book or based on or a movie or something really cool.
Theme songs.
So, yeah, I'm not going to give any geek songs, really. Goes along hand-in-hand with Metal Geek, so.
I've got one for you.
I know you do.
Definitely.
Would you mean Star One?
Yes, that would be Star One. Of course, it's a Whedon. Anything to do with the Whedon, I love. So, yeah, Star One, Serenity, Firefly. Love it.
You don't say. What about the tattoo on the back of your neck?
Well, it's a Buffy tattoo. It's the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's the monogram, the BVS. But it kind of just, for me, encompasses the whole Whedon, you know, universe. So.
The strong female characters and...
Yes, the strong female character. The girl power, for lack of Spice Girls phrase, but you know. Definitely. So more or less, you know, Joss's real work versus the movie.
Yes.
Now, we have some more talk about Joss Whedon in coming up, but I have a little bit of trivia that not everybody might not know. What was one of the first movies that Joss Whedon helped write? He didn't direct it, but he wrote the script.
I don't know.
Do you know, Kim?
Would that be the Toy Story?
Yep, he wrote Toy Story.
I knew he did that, but I didn't realize that was the first. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's...
He's doing the Avengers 2 as well, right?
Yep, he is writing and directing Avengers 2, but we'll get to him. He has his time. he'll have his place in the sun, I think.
Okay.
This is something I picked out as a news item that I think you would enjoy. There's an eBay auction going on right now. It's the Randy Blythe Defense Fund, and Lamb of God created it. I checked out the eBay store, the page for it earlier, and a little bit more expensive than I can afford right now, but everything starts at about $200, but all the money is going to his legal defense.
Oh, and this is off of thegauntlet.com as well. Jason Fisher. He's a funny dude. If you guys are on Twitter, follow him. He's hilarious.
I think I might have to. But a number of musicians have offered equipment to be auctioned off. Machine Head, Megadeth. That's the only bands that I want to say here.
His Twitter handle is @thegauntlet. Just a heads up. Yeah.
The Gauntlet. Okay. Right on. I like his website a lot. I go there quite frequently looking for news and stuff.
I used to frequent a site, and a buddy of mine actually used to have a podcast and a live radio show called The Dungeon on there.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what happened, and they're not doing it anymore. I'm not sure what happened, but in any case, he's a funny dude, and I think there's a girl, Brutal Brandy. I'll have to let her know that we broadcasted this to the world.
To the world.
But, yeah, because they made the Lamb of God auction for Randy Blythe Defense Fund known, so we'll have to give them credit.
That's right. We always give credit where credit is due. Were you able to check out any of the stuff on the eBay site?
I did not. I actually just now was able to look on
the Gauntlet. Wow, I looked on this morning, and the first one listed is a Mark Morton Jackson guitar, and it's going for $1,125 right now. When I saw it this morning, it was like it was only 200 something. So,
wow.
Wow. Chris Adler, 15 cymbals, is going for $1,025. A used microphone from Randy Blythe is going for $1,050 right now, and they're still. I don't know when these are even over. You know, eight days. There's still 8 days left on these auctions. So, me thinking you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, Chris Adler cymbals, Chris Adler pedals, and oh, looks like they've got a Rob Flynn guitar, Slash right. guitar.
Slash will get a lot of money.
Dave Elson bass. Looks like they got a lot of other people. I don't know who this is. It doesn't ring a bell to me, but Phil Demmel.
He is from Machine Head. Is.
Oh. Oh, is he the really jacked up dude, or is he the really good guitarist?
I don't know what you mean by jacked up dude, but...
Oh, one of the guys, I think he's the bassist. The bassist guy looks like he's on steroids. Okay. I don't want to make any allegations or anything, but I'm pretty certain he's pretty jacked.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. Five Finger Death Punch. I'm not sure what that's going for on here, but interesting.
Indeed.
I bet you that microphone stinks.
I bet you it does. I don't want to purchase that microphone.
I like how it's got duct tape all around. It's hilarious.
Right? But yeah, well, we will link to that in our show notes as well. We got to figure out how we're going to do our show notes at this point. A little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because we are working on the website right now, and that will be up pretty shortly. Not as short like tonight, shortly, but in the next couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I'm working on it. To do.
We are working on it. We had the elves working on it in the lab over here.
The Keebler elves.
The Keebler elves. That's what
keeps
it going.
And they're awesome cookies.
Yeah.
So I did want to do a little bit of self promotion here before we go on to video games. Metal Injection FM has just launched. You can visit it at metalinjection.net/FM, and it's 24-hour live streaming of all the great podcasts that make up Metal Injection Radio. MSRcast is on there, Intro League is on there, Livecast, Return to the Pit, even Relapse has a podcast on there, so they play all their music. And when there's not one of our specialty shows playing, there's general heavy, cool music that I've helped pick out playing all the time.
Right. So,
it's a lot of fun, man.
It sounds good. I like the stream, too. It's very clear.
It is very good.
I didn't get any buffering, so that's a good sign.
Right now, I'm just glancing. Open Metalcast is playing, and they're one of the podcasts that's on Metal Injection Radio. All they play is open source metal bands. So nothing's ever, it's all bands that release their music for free on the internet, basically. Up and coming bands, a lot of bands playing. And right now it looks like they're playing a band I'm not going to be able to pronounce, but they're from Russia somewhere, because there's a bunch of Russian letters there.
Just roll your tongue a little bit and go, there you go.
And I am originally, my family is from partly Russia, so I should be able to, but I don't speak Russian. Da.
Yeah.
Or, no. Niet.
Yeah.
I know Niet and Tovarich.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
So a little bit more self-promotion. The brand new episode of MSRcast just came out, episode 128. I did a great interview with one of my favorite bands. That would be Swallow the Sun.
It was a really good interview, man.
I mean, got to interview the keyboardist, Alexei Munter. Had a great talk with him.
And his dog.
And his dog in the background.
That was awesome. I thought that was so cool. And it makes it more...
At the very end of the...
Makes it very real.
Oh, yeah, totally, man. And at the very end, I played the Horror Quadrilogy. They, for the last four albums, they've had a song that sort of fits in the same lyrical concept. It's called Horror. So I played all four parts of that song at the very end of the show. A lot of fun. One of my favorite Finnish death doom bands of all time.
And after hearing that interview and listening to the entire show, you had me hooked on Swallow the Sun for the last 4 days.
Then my job is done.
Yeah. Now...
Unfortunately... Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I think we had mentioned in the last show we were going to talk about bands that make us, that we geek out about. So I'm going to assume that Swallow the Sun's one of those bands for you.
Yeah, I would say so.
I discovered that I have way more than I could probably categorize. However,
I think we're going to hold off on this because I need to do a little bit more research into what my answers are going to be.
Well, I'll share mine. One of mine right now. Agolic is one of my favorite bands. Oh, okay. I can listen to that band any day of the week, anytime, any mood, no matter what. I always feel like I can put those guys in and just, you know, disappear in the music. It's pretty cool.
I only listen to Swallow the Sun on days ending with Y.
There you go. So, if anybody's out there is an Agolic fan, hit us up on the Metal Geek site and, you know, maybe I'll send you some of my favorite songs.
Yeah, do us a favor. Send us an email at themetalgeeks@gmail.com. Let us know what metal bands you guys geek out on. It can be anything, whatever you like, whatever you really geek out about. If you have to own every album, you have posters, t-shirts, tattoos. Come on. If you have a tattoo for a band, you definitely are a geek for that band. Like, as I show my Knotman tattoo right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'm a big Anthrax fan, so.
I don't have any cool tattoos like that.
I hear a lot of typing going on. Yeah, are you looking up?
No, not looking up. I was talking in the discussion thread for the Metal Geeks on Facebook. I was asking them to email us as well.
Right on, yeah, definitely. We want to hear what you guys think. What are some of your favorite metal bands that you really, really geek out about? I mean, ultimately, I know one that everybody's going to be top on their list is Iron Maiden.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. They're a staple, you know? They're a staple of the metal tradition. You have to listen to Maiden, yeah. You know?
They're like the jumping off point, and I've never stopped listening to them, so there you go.
Yeah, we had a killer time at the show when we saw them live, so they're always a great show. They always put on a damn good show.
I hope to get to That's see right. them before they die off. I mean, I know that's an insensitive, thing to say, but I mean it's true. I mean they're getting up in their 60s. Anything can happen now, you know.
That is true. Yeah, there are some people that died this year that I didn't think were going to die. Yeah. You know, it's been sad, but let's move on to something happy.
After my insensitive comments about Iron Maiden,
you
if
insensitive
you have any
prick.
Hate mail for John Michael, send it at themetalgeeks@gmail.com. And tell me how much you hate me.
And if I get that, I will forward that straight over to John Michael over there.
We both read everything, so it's hate mail is acceptable. And you know what? I'll even read it. I'll even read it on the podcast.
Indeed. I will make you read it. Let's get on to the next topic of the evening, video games.
It's probably the...
Have you been playing anything?
No, I haven't even been able to hook up my Xbox Live yet because of the move, but... I was actually... This is how far behind everything is in the house. I literally plugged my microphone up right before the show. So, the computer wasn't even set up. If you can see behind me, I've got boxes everywhere.
Okay. Indeed, it's true, my friends. He's not bullshitting.
But... Don't worry, I plan on having a pretty laying low type of weekend, and I'm going to get my game on. So,
we have been talking to a couple of loyal listeners about getting a game night going on pretty soon. So, as soon as I get that package sent out to you in the mail, we'll be able to all play the same game.
Nice. If you want to add me on Xbox Live, it's Bolt Thorn 79.
And if you want to add me on Xbox Live, it's Knotman 666. Knotman 666. And I believe, I'm not really sure, there's a capital N at the front of Knotman. I'm not sure if you really have to put that or not. I've never figured that out.
I think you...
Xbox is a finicky thing, you know?
I think it is cap sensitive, because I tried to do lowercase Bolt Thorn and okay. I ended up saying, nope, we got to do an uppercase.
All right, so it's capital N-O-T-M-A-N lowercase. 666.
And if you get the wrong,
so yeah, hit us
if you get the wrong person. That'd be kind of fun to troll them.
It's true. Yeah, hit us up on there because we do want to play some games with you guys out there. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a couple of some like three quick news things that I wanted to get to tonight. Nintendo Power. Do you remember that magazine growing up?
Yep.
It's finally shutting down after 24 years. I believe November will be the last issue. I grew up on this magazine, man. I was a huge Nintendo nerd back when I was a kid. This is the only place you can got your news and how to get past levels, and there was no internet when I was a kid. That's how old I am.
There was no Game Informer. It was Nintendo Power.
Yeah. Because Nintendo was the big thing, and it's sort of sad that they're going, but print is dead.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I think the only medium that is still, it's slowly becoming digital, would be the comics. But,
yeah,
you know, still, and it's not like you can go get somebody to sign your damn iPhone with a digital copy, you know?
Exactly. So. I mean, most print is really dead. The only way they make any type of money is advertising, and that's why you look through a damn magazine and there's like 10 pages of actual articles and like 50 of ads.
Yeah.
The only one still going that's really even worse as shit is Game Informer. And the only reason they're so popular is because almost everybody that goes into GameStop is forced into signing up for a subscription.
So they can get a percentage off in the store.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because, I mean, I do like the magazine, but,
yeah,
you know. And especially after a couple of years ago, they really started changing things up, and they started designing things in a visually, aesthetically pleasing way, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't the normal video game magazine.
Right, absolutely.
And I appreciated that.
Yeah, you know, and it is, like you said, it is sad. You know, it's just that Nintendo Power is ending. I remember when Nintendo Power... And matter of fact, I was watching something on YouTube. I think it was Mike Tyson's Punch Out videos, because I actually have a Wii, and I do like playing Wii Punch Out or whatever. And I was going back and watching some videos on YouTube, and they had the Nintendo Power commercial and the old logo after I don't know if you recall it or not, but it was Mike Tyson sitting in a room with a whole bunch of video screens around him, and yeah.
I do remember that.
So it's kind of weird, and it sucks because it's part of your childhood ending. It's just, you know.
It really is, man. But, you know, I pick it up every once in a while when I'm like in a, you know, a grocery store or something. But I don't know the last time I bought one.
Yeah. Me either.
I don't, yeah. So that's probably why it's ending. Thanks to assholes like me reading it for free in the store.
That's the only way to do it now because it costs a goddamn much.
That's true. So the next topic I would like to speak about is Skyrim. I know you've never played Skyrim.
No, but that is definitely on my get list. I tried to get it last.
Okay. Prepare to.
I tried to get it last year.
Prepare to lose a lot of your life.
That's one of the reasons why I. Okay, I have a confession to make. I have to limit myself. If I don't limit myself, I will be sucked in. The game will take over my life. That happened to me with Metal Gear Solid. It happened to me with Resident Evil. It happened to me with all those games. And if I get into a game like Skyrim, I don't think I'm ever going to come out.
You probably might not.
I don't know, man.
But that could be a good thing. So the article I wanted to get into, apparently somebody that worked on Skyrim loves Catatonia, which I don't blame them for loving Catatonia because the new album just came out this week.
It ties in with
him, fucking amazing. Apparently, here's the article about it. There's a mission called Darkness Returned. The goal is to retrieve Nystrom's journal. And of course, the guitar player from Catatonia is Anders Nystrom. The game writers didn't stop there. They drop all sorts of Catatonia-related Easter eggs into the Darkness Returns quest. There's a passage of text in the mission that reads, he also mumbled some nonsensical phrases like night is the new day and how he was the ghost of the sun.
Yeah.
Which Catatonia fans should easily recognize as reference to titles of album and song. So Nystrom, a fellow gamer, was flattered to find out about Skyrim's creator's love of the band, and here's what he had to say. Yeah, it is so bizarre, I had no idea, actually. One day I just logged onto the computer, checked the emails and everything, and I think it was one of our fans on Facebook. They had posted something on our wall, directing us to the Wikipedia describing the whole mission for Darkness Returns. I just started reading it, not really knowing what I was reading until I actually discovered it was from Skyrim. It was so bizarre that with the whole character riddle thing and how they intertwined the titles. That's when it dawned on me that it was actually an objective inside the game. It was just like,
wow,
how cool is this? So, I'm excited. I haven't got to that mission yet, and I really want to
get it.
And that's not the first video game that's actually paid tribute to a metal band. There's a game that came out maybe 2 to 3 years ago called Sacred. That game features the band Blind Guardian in it. They wrote the title track to the song, and there's actually a mission in the game where you have to do stuff for the band. And they actually have the band in the game playing that song live to a bunch of orcs and goblins and shit. It's the craziest thing ever. So, if you were a Blind Guardian fan, check out Sacred. You can probably pick it up really cheap now. A lot of fun. I love when my two favorite things mix up together, you know?
There's a there's an MMA fighter. I know this is very weird to say this, but it ties in, believe me. there's an MMA fighter who's absolutely obsessed with Skyrim. And he was one of my favorite fighters. His name is John Fitch. And he actually loves Skyrim so much that he created his own Twitter account as his character. So he does, the day it came out, he had created this and he's been in it the entire time. He logged his journeys in Skyrim. His Twitter name is Fitch Dragonborn. And his Twitter handle is @Fitch. It's
okay.
FITCH Skyrim Tale. And basically, you know how you have your description on Twitter. it says, "I don't remember much of my youth.
Right.
Can only
right.
remember being on a cart with other criminals, and we were going to be executed. Then a dragon came. Crazy shit. Yeah."
That's the intro to the game right there. That's the beginning
totally,
part of the first 5 minutes
like,
of the game.
Here's a tweet that he did. I killed a dragon priest and no mask. What the hell? I thought they all had a mask. I don't know what that means, but... So, it's pretty cool.
You will. So, you remember me talking about the game Dragon's Dogma recently? How
I believe... Oh, yeah, that's difficult right. It was. Yeah, okay.
I hate to say it, but I did trade it in over the past weekend. And I feel remorse because I lost my favorite character of all time. In the game you have three NPC characters that go along with you and fight. One of them is directly made by you. You pick his attributes and what he looks like and everything in his name. And the other two are people that are other characters other people have created that come along with you. Well, the character that I created that was my NPC, my right-hand man, I named him, this is my favorite name of all time, Ass-Hadigan.
That's great.
And I miss my Ass-Hadigan, man. I want him back.
It's a great name.
I'm going to have to just start a new RPG game somewhere and just name my character Ass-Hadigan.
Well, that could be your, do you have Skyrim? Do you get to name your...
I do have Skyrim.
You get to name your character?
You do get to name your character, but I've already picked Joachim.
Oh, okay.
Because of the guy from Sabaton, because I love that name. It's a great name. It feels very RPG-like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But Ass-Hadigan might be the way to go from now on. Don't steal my Ass-Hadigan out there, people.
Or
because Ass-Hadigan will come find you.
You have a PlayStation 3, you said, right?
I do have a PlayStation 3.
Do you have DC Universe?
I do have DC Universe.
You can create a Ass-Hattigan superhero.
Never played that game.
Really?
I've tried, and, well, I played it for maybe like 5 minutes, and I was bored. I can't get into games like that. It's I don't know.
Really?
And that and the PlayStation 3, especially that game, it's such a huge game. Every time you try to load it up and play it, there's like a two-hour download for updates, and, you know, it gets damn annoying.
Yeah, I tried.
But I'm not.
I downloaded it off of Steam. And on my laptop, and it took 8 hours.
Right.
That was, exactly. That's ridiculous.
Now that I'm not trying to dissuade you from getting a PlayStation 3, but there's a lot of updating when you go to play a game. Okay. Trust me.
Yes. Yes.
That's unfortunate, though.
Do you want to
play? Drives me crazy.
Do you want to play your PlayStation 3? Here's an update. Hey, let's play this game. Update. Damn it.
You want to watch Netflix? Update.
You want to watch Netflix? You want to go to the PlayStation store to see what's available to buy? Update. God damn it. Stop updating.
Really?
That's,
It gets pretty, and I'm sure everybody out there listening will agree with me that there's a lot of updates, but a lot of people out there, they pay for the PlayStation Plus, which I'm not going to do, which gives them automatic updates when your system's turned off. So I think that should be free.
Yeah. That's weird how they stream it like that, though. Like, they streamline it as, okay, you're going to pay this, so we're going to give you VIP access.
Right. It is sort of VIP. I mean, PlayStation Plus, it really is worth it now because, I mean, every month there's like 13 free games you can download. But the thing of it is, if you ever lapse in your PlayStation Plus, you lose all those free games, which I can understand, you know.
Now,
that's the way...
What kind of games do they give you?
They give you full game. Let's see. I can look it up right now if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. What is available for PlayStation Plus members right now? You guys talk amongst yourself for just a minute.
So, Kim.
Where's the Jeopardy music when you need it?
So, okay. Now, do you have a gamer tag, Kim?
Yes, I have for Xbox. I'm a River Dragon 169.
So,
and of course, that's a reference to Nevermore.
Right. So now, when I finally get my Xbox up, I'm gonna have to hook my microphone up because I just discovered over the weekend in my moving. I didn't realize this, but I actually have a headset. I had no idea. Oh. So
nice.
It'll be interesting.
Nice. Yeah, we have, yeah.
So we're going to, whenever we get the gamer night, maybe, I don't know if you guys have Left 4 Dead 2, but I'll be able to hook my headset up and talk shit while killing zombies.
Okay, there will be a lot of reloading going on.
That is true.
For those of the fans
of
the game.
That's true.
Yeah. I'll play online with some friends or, you know, family, and half the thing we'll just be yelling, reloading, because, you know, that's all they say during the game.
That's right.
Or yeah. Med's here,
I always get killed,
you know.
Though. It's like so. Sometimes when I get swarmed, nobody's there to help me. It sucks.
Or I'm usually the one that finds the witch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm playing the game, I remember that.
I hate the
gets
damn
killed
witch.
By the witch.
I normally get destroyed by hordes of zombies and or I'm not sure which character it is, but he rams you, like he charges you, and then it's like he starts humping you. Yeah, it's really weird. But those characters ones end up killing me, and then as I'm dying, I got one hand up and I'm trying to shoot everybody around me, but my small gun's not working.
Yeah, been there, done that. Definitely yeah.
Just looking at the list, this is from, I believe, July, but I've seen, like, the new Ratchet & Clank game on there, Infamous 2, and a lot of PSN stuff, but they do give you full retail releases for free. They're just downloads. Yeah, it's $50 a year. I guess you do, it is more value than, I hate to say it, than the Xbox Live, because Xbox Live, all you really get is a little bit of a discount sometimes, and the ability to play online, really, you know? But I do see the value in it, and it's something I've thought about getting, but I don't turn my PS3 on as much as I play my Xbox, so.
Did we ever get a winner of the Xbox Live?
We have not. We still have that prize to give away.
We need to get some more people out there working for the goods.
That's right. I mean, we're giving away free games and free 6 months of Xbox Live. I mean, for free. Wait, did we mention free as well? All you guys got to do is help promote us on Twitter, and we will randomly pick out somebody, and they will get a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah, right.
Free, right?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for asking.
Does this also, the Just rule checking. Apply as well for Facebook shares? Because I think we can monitor that.
Facebook shares as well? Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want, man. We will give you some free shit. We will randomly pick somebody out that is doing it, a random share or a tweet, and we will contact you privately, and we will ask for your address, and we'll send you a bunch of free shit.
You should, whoever does it on Twitter, whoever starts the, because we haven't had one person actually try it yet. So the person who starts it, start a hashtag like Metal Geeks Xbox Live, or, you know, something that involves Metal Geeks in your hashtag.
That's right. That's a great idea. Thank you for thinking of that.
You know.
Knew I had you around for a reason. While we're still talking about PlayStation, there was something I wanted to talk about. I do own a PlayStation Vita. I know we talked about that before. Don't play it that much, but they just did release a new Vita firmware that allows PlayStation 1 games to be played on it. If you purchase them, of course, through the PlayStation Network. But here's what I want to talk about. Apparently, in America, they've only released 9 games. If you're in Europe, you get 129 games. Why is there such a big difference between Europe and America with what games are available to download for PlayStation 1?
So this is Europe, not just like Japan as well.
Europe, yeah. But the way to download your PlayStation 1 games, you have to actually download them from the PlayStation Network store, have them as a bubble on your PlayStation, on the PS3, not installed, and then transfer them through the transfer app on your Vita. And apparently, any PSN game or PlayStation 1 game on the PSN is transferable that way. So I don't know why there's only a certain list. Maybe they didn't get a chance to test everything before they went live with the firmware, but I haven't tried it out personally yet, but I do have a couple of PlayStation 1 games in my account I might try that with.
You know, just
It is. It's a very complicated way to go about doing it. It's the same way to get your they have what they call PlayStation mini games, which are smaller, you know, shorter games. That's the same way you have to get them on your Vita that way, is transferring them through a transfer cable from hooked up from your Vita to your PlayStation 3.
Maybe I have to go through Best Buy and see if I can find a Vita and tinker with it.
Mm-hmm. They are a lot of fun. I mean, graphically, they are an amazing system. There's no games that are really out there that are really great. They need to support it more, I think. Or if they don't, it's going to fail. And what we talked about last week, that the crossplay, that might help out a little bit, but there needs to be better and more games quickly.
Exactly.
Or it's going to fail.
Exactly. I haven't picked up your copy, your game, your Vita, because I haven't seen any games I liked. I mean, give me a game I like and I'll play it, but there's nothing. It's
dry. That's weird, too. You'd think with the catalog that they would end up saying, okay, well, let's push it out there.
Yeah, I mean, they released a Uncharted game, which is one of the only games I own for it. And there's actually a really cool game called Army Corps of Hell. I love that game. I got it really cheap on clearance at Target one day, which is where I like to get a lot of my games on clearance, on cheap. I don't know if you ever played, how would I describe it? Sort of like Pikmin meets, what's that other game I'm trying to think of? I can't think of the name of that other game right now. Where you have the minions and they say master a lot and...
Overlord?
Overlord, thank you.
There you go.
I knew I had you around for a reason, too. So it's definitely a cross between Pikmin and Overlord, where you have a bunch of hellish minions behind you, and you control them. But, holy crap, dude, the soundtrack is fucking amazing. It's a heavy metal soundtrack. You got everything from, like, thrash metal, black metal, death metal in there. I mean, these are real bands, too. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I like that game. Anything that has metal in it and it has to deal with hell, it's an easy sell for me. So, I was going to ask you what you've been playing, but I guess you haven't really been playing anything.
No. I have a project, and this weekend involves gaming. So, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna get the Walking Dead game, episode one, I think it is, you said.
Yep.
And
I need you to be caught up on that by next week.
I'll do my best.
So I'm gonna play episode 3 this weekend, and I want to talk to about it.
The other game that I was looking at, I was watching some. Although I haven't been able to play, I have been watching YouTube videos of Darksiders, and it definitely caught my attention. So,
Oh, yeah.
I guess
I've been playing the hell out of Darksiders, too, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something to put on your list.
I've never played it, but I could see that it kind of resembles God of War a little bit as far as the character.
Yeah, God of War meets Prince of Persia meets... I mean, this is what everybody's saying. This is like in every review I've ever read. It's Prince of Persia meets God of War meets Legend of Zelda. And that couldn't be a more accurate description, really.
You know who he looks like to me? I don't know the character's name, but he looks like Pit for me. Like he's got the Prince of Persia swords and... He's got a Kratos mentality, but he seems like Pit from the comics. You know, he's
Pit. Who is Pit?
Back in the 90s, there was an Image Comics.
Oh, yeah, Pit. P-I-T-T.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite comics as a teenager. And
yeah, well, the artwork and design, the concept stuff is all done by Joe Madureira, who, you know, did comics for years, X-Men and all this different stuff, and it feels like a comic book.
It looked like one. It was.
So I guess what we're saying is you haven't really been playing any games. Let me pose this question to Kim over here. What have you been playing? Like, I don't know, but
yeah. I've been playing a lot of this and a lot of that. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people that I'll start a game, it gets kind of hard, so it's like, let me start something else. So right now, on my little shelf, I have a couple of different games. I have Dead Space I've been playing. I have Batman Arkham Asylum. Of course, I'm finishing Portal 1, because I already finished Portal 2, but then I went back to Portal 1. And then right this moment, before you got on to the recording, I was playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, trying to finish that game up.
Yeah, you play all the Assassin's Creed, so I don't have to.
That is correct. Yes, yes, yes. They're fun. I enjoy them.
So I guess we'll go over what's on my play stack right now. Still going through Darksiders 2. I picked up Sleeping Dogs. That game is a lot of fun.
Yes.
You ever played like a Grand Theft Auto game? Okay. It's that style, but... they try different things. It's set in Hong Kong, so, I mean, the environment is totally different than which you've ever really played before. I don't want to give away the plot line or anything for people that want to play it, but you're dealing with the triad and cops and all that kind of stuff. Gameplay-wise, very action-wise, it's very, truthfully, like Batman. A little bit like, you know, the way Batman's fighting style is, where you have a group of people around you, and then one of them will flash, and you have use your Y button to actually go at him real quick, and then that kind of fluid gameplay, very Assassin's Creed-like in that way as well, which is cool. I actually haven't got to any gunplay yet in the game, so I can't really say how that is, and I've played maybe like 3 or 4 hours of the game already, and I haven't even shot a gun yet, so tells you how big the game really is going to be. But it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to playing through the whole thing. But There's other games on the top of my list that I have to get through first. I just started playing the new Transformers Fall of Cybertron game. That is tremendously fun.
Is this the game that they're introducing the Dinobots?
Yes. I just started a level 3 or 4, and we are searching for Grimlock right now.
Very cool.
So
what kind of a game is it? Like, is it a...
It's an action shooter game. Okay. Apparently there's a multiplayer aspect to it, which I haven't tried. But this is the same group, I think they're called High Moon. They're doing the Deadpool game.
Oh.
So you have to represent. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of fun, though. I got it on the cheap because I traded some stuff in and got it pretty cheap. So I wasn't disappointed in that. But I don't think it's a full $60 retail release.
Right.
$60 is hard to justify for some games, you know what I mean? But the price I paid, I only paid like $20 out of pocket for it. I'm not too upset about it, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I'll be playing that over the weekend, trying to beat that game. And just picked up Rock Band Blitz today. Played for maybe 10 to 15 minutes before we did this episode tonight. And it's basically Rock Band without the instruments.
Weird. So you just use a controller?
You use a controller. Depends on the song. What you like about it is there's brand new songs that come along with the game, but it uses every song from your Rock Band collection. Even stuff that you've downloaded is DLC. It works straight into the game.
Oh, okay.
Like the first two songs that I played tonight were Anthrax, so... And Devin Townsend, you gotta give him that. Played something off Ziltoid, so it's a lot of fun. Basically, you have four or five lanes on the screen. In each one, like, you have the drums, the guitar, bass, vocals, and keyboards, if there's keyboards in the song, but you have to keep... The goal of the game is not to beat the song.
Right.
It's to get your score the highest and to beat other people's scores.
No.
So you can actually... You miss notes and not be, in not getting. Now you don't get points taken away for missing notes, basically.
Right. Now, is this a physical game or is it a downloadable game?
It is not a physical game. It is only a DLC, and it's about 1,200 Microsoft points, so it's $15 in real money, and on the PlayStation Network, it's $15. So, definitely worth it if you have a collection of Rock Band songs already. And you weren't playing your Rock Band game anymore because you were tired of the guitar and all that, this is a way to keep that going. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really going to get into it more and talk about it more later, but for people out there who have played like the PSP version of Rock Band Unplugged, and it's very much like that. And a little bit in the style of the old... they did games in the before, maybe Frequency and Amplitude. A little bit in that style, too. But there's power-ups you can get that, like, you get a bomb power-up and you activate your power-up and it'll explode all the notes around you so you can you get higher scores. It's a lot of fun so far. I see myself being very addicted to this game in the future.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
When does the Deadpool game come out?
I don't know. Probably 2013 sometime. Maybe even later. I don't know.
I'm thinking that when that does come out, we're going to have to buy it, and then you're going to have to be patient with me because I'm certain that you're going to go through the game way faster than me.
Okay.
So maybe that's what we'll do. We'll get the game and then talk about it because I think that's pretty I think that'll be the game that's like that I'm addicted to.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. You need it. You don't have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 yet? Or 3, I'm sorry.
I do not. I wanted to get it, but I couldn't justify spending that much money. I always thought about, back when I was younger, I would drop $50 on a fighting game and then just get bored with it within the first week.
Well, try to find Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because I'm sure you can find it cheaply now, because when it came out, it was only $39. It was an upgrade. You had 12 new characters, a lot of cool new characters, but I would like to make that... one of our gameplay night games, because I know another listener out there, Metal Dude 29 plays that game a lot, and he's sort of challenging me on that, so I need to step up my skills a little bit.
Interesting. Well,
so if we can get you a cheap copy, we need to.
Okay,
we
should
that.
Have an eBay account and do an auction of things from Metal Geeks and raise money to buy me the game.
Well, why don't we just start you a crowdfunding website to buy you video
or
games?
Kickstarter.
Yeah. Kickstarter.
You know.
Oh, you just made me think about something.
No.
Well, no, a guy that I know, he was telling me about this Kickstarter sketchbook where you pay $25 for this person to get this sketchbook mass-produced, I guess. And he ends up sending you a sketchbook and actually teaches you how to sketch, you know, professionally. Now, I don't know if any of you... Do you draw or sketch at all?
I can draw a stick figure.
No, not at all.
I had this conversation earlier. When I do storyboards for a movie or something, they look so shitty. I draw little stick figures and, you know, but they get the job done.
Well, I respect your honesty. That's very, very admirable of you.
And I have seen some of your artwork. You are a really good artist, so.
Well, I wouldn't call myself an artist.
You're artistic.
I appreciate that.
Not autistic, but artistic. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of both,
I think we all are in our own little way.
No. Well, I actually, when I was younger, I was a graphic arts and an art major. When I was basically my high school had like you had the whole plan of doing kind of.
I thought you were going to say when I was younger,
and
I was autistic.
I was actually trying. Yep, I was a part of the art program at my high school. I don't think, you know, I'm as good as she said I was, but they were trying to get me to go to the Art Institute of Philadelphia, and I couldn't get any funding. So I just kind of like said, fuck this, when I couldn't get in. But I've recently picked some stuff up, and I thought it was something that was really important to point out, and you totally reminded me by saying Kickstart. There's some really cool things on there. I've never browsed over it until recently. A lot of nerdy, geeky shit.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Totally, man. Speaking of Kickstart My Heart.
So I'll find the link and I'll post it on the Facebook and Twitter page once we activate this episode.
Yeah, we are, decided on, speaking of the episode, Metal Geeks will be released on Sunday. So every Sunday, hopefully, you will see a brand new episode of Metal Geeks. There might be a few weeks here and there where we have to miss it because real life happens, which does happen. But you will look forward to a new episode of Metal Geeks on Sundays. You can put that in your Twitter feed and in your iTunes feed and take that to the bank. If you want to go to the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go to the bank.
I don't want to go anymore either.
Well, I think it's awesome because I do know I know some people who have been listening to it while they're in their cubicles. So,
and if you are somebody that can do a website and can offer help on getting a website built, we have a WordPress page, and we don't need a really, really fancy thing. We need to see something we can post to and blog to, and I'm looking for other bloggers to take part of this with me. So if you are a geek out there and you're one of our geekazoids and you feel like you have what it takes to blog with us, let me know. Hit me up at themetalgeeks@gmail.com or tweet us. Let us know. We need your help.
And if you are really high tech, you can make us an app.
Nice.
An app would be nice. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. We could pay for it right now, but it's not something that we can pay for. We get some merchandise out there.
So let's get into our next topic here. We have a couple of items here in our comic book section of the week. It looks like a lot of it is DC, truthfully.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing because we've been talking about Marvel like every
we've been very Marvel centric recently. So I'm not a huge DC nerd, never really have been, but I do like some of the characters. So go ahead and tell us about the first bit of news about the new new series here.
Well, there's a couple of really cool things that are going to happen in the next couple of months. But the DC Comics Justice League of America that you're just talking about.
That's right.
Basically, it is going to be launched in 2013, and I saw a picture that was I think I posted it on the actual page on the Facebook page.
Indeed.
I'm trying to wait for my page to load here. Sorry, my computer sucks ass. So if anybody's got a computer out there, I'm freeloading. Okay. So right. Yeah, there's a really awesome picture of the new league, and I don't know much about what's going to be happening because obviously the storylines haven't been released. But I noticed in the picture that Catwoman is a part of the Justice League now.
Right, so they announced the team lineup. I don't know all the characters, to tell you the truth. So right now, the way the new Justice League is going to be Green Arrow, Katana, Martian Manhunter, the new Green Lantern, which I don't know who the new Green Lantern is, Stargirl, Vibe, never heard of the character Vibe before, Hawkman, and Catwoman.
What the new 52 is doing is they're introducing a lot of characters that are new, and this new Green Lantern character is actually Arab. Recently, and this is a part of the thing I was saying at the beginning of this segment, the New 52 starting on its anniversary of the first New 52 that came out last year, on the year anniversary, they're starting at zero again, right. And they're introducing new characters and canceling old characters that they had been focusing on, like the Blue. I think Captain Atom was canceled too. So they have all these characters, and from what I understand, these characters that are in the Justice League of America are probably going to be more focal points of the new Zero issues. But I don't know how they tie in.
Right. So the Zero issues, it's something starting in September. So what they're basically doing now is now, 2 years later, was it 1 year or 2 year later, they're going to give the origin stories of the characters.
I believe you are correct.
Okay, so I actually have a flyer that I picked up today from my local comic store, and on the back it has a list of all the issues coming out. There's a shitload of them, all in September. It says new characters introduced, secret origins unveiled, mysteries revealed.
I find it kind of funny that I don't know if you could see in the Green Lantern's picture here. But he's actually got a mask, a full face mask that only reveals his mouth. And it's kind of weird to me because it's kind of like Al-Qaeda-ish. Because he's got a gun. Why does the Green Lantern need a fucking gun? A handgun. Here, I'll send you the picture that I'm looking at.
I'm looking at a picture. I don't see a handgun.
Well, if you look, there's a site that released the Zero issues of the covers. He's totally got a gun pointing right at you. And he also has, you know, the Green Lantern ring and the whole getup going on. But it's weird.
I'll take your word for it.
What's that?
I'll take your word for it. Send me over to that link
here
and
you
I
go.
Will...
Let me see.
Pass my own judgment.
But anyways, this is
what you call podcasting
on
the fly.
If this was a live show, this would be even more fun. So they released all these sketches of the new 52 covers, and I believe all the characters on that cover, except for the Martian Manhunter. The other guys are going to be having their own new Zero issues. The Green Arrow, Katana.
Okay.
There you go.
Have you sent that link yet?
Well, I'm trying to send it to you, but like I said, I have a really shitty computer and it's taking its time.
Maybe we need to start a Kickstarter to get you a better computer.
Yeah, let me see here. Let's see if I can send this to you. Because I can send it on Facebook, but my Skype is not responding to me.
Facebook is fine.
Okay.
Just post it right into the Metal Geeks thing here, so everybody can take a look at it.
Oh, on the entire
yep.
Metal Geeks page? Okay. All right.
So,
sorry.
Another, I wanted to talk about the Watchmen, the before Watchmen series, and a little bit about that. But if you're a fan of the Watchmen, the series and the movie, it's very interesting what they're doing. I think we'll hold that off for maybe next couple episodes. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I want my partner over here to read some of the more of the Watchmen stories, the before Watchmen.
Will do.
Did you ever read the original?
I did when I was younger.
Okay.
I actually had the graphic novel that... At least.
Right on.
All right. Here's... I finally got the link posted.
Yay! By
the way. But yeah, I have those comics as a CBR on my phone now, so I have to tell myself to stop reading so much Spider-Man because I've been reading it every day. And until today, you got me to read the Space Punisher.
Yeah, I read the first two issues of the Space Punisher, and I wanted you to read it as well. Wanted to talk about it a little bit. It's a fun series so far.
Yeah, and I think it's brutal.
it's very brutal.
I mean, it's like he is hell-bent. I mean, he is in killing mode, pure killing mode.
It's a very futuristic storyline where everything takes place in space, of course. That's why he is the Space Punisher here. One of my favorite artists of all time is the artist on it, Mark Texeira. I've never been able to say his name correctly.
But I tried to Google Translate it, and the Google Translator can't roll her tongue, so I'm not sure how they're going to say it.
Right. But the first two issues are out. It's only a 4-issue limited series, so it's not going to put you back too much. But it's a lot of damn fun. He's killing everybody from Deadpool to...
decimated Rhino.
Yep. And the way he got rid of Dr. Octopus was pretty great.
That was awesome. It was torturous. It was pretty wild.
It was very torturous. He strapped Dr. Octopus to the front of a spaceship while he was flying through space. Pretty cool.
He was screaming so much that he lost his voice. It's brutal. And, there's a tie-in with that whole deal anyways with the... He's hunting for the six-fingered man.
Right.
You know, honestly, I have to say something. The first time I read that line, the movie that popped in my mind was The Princess Bride. You know, it's like he's looking for the six-fingered man.
Right.
And I was like, okay, wait. They kind of borrowed that storyline, but from there on, it became extremely brutal, and I saw a lot of things being gutted and... He was slaying people with laser knives, and apparently he's got a robot friend named Chip, which he designed, and a spaceship named Maria, and she's...
That's true.
Yeah, she pretty much just can destroy anything, and to put in perspective, like you said, he was killing everybody. They did reference... the other person that, or the other character that was in the second issue that really took me off guard. I don't understand why he's got four arms, but
yeah. Well, the story is really, it's an imaginary story. You know, it's recasting characters from the Marvel universe in this futuristic alternate universe. Frank Castle still, of course, Punisher looking for revenge. But now he's a jetpack wearing spaceship driving cosmic mercenary.
Yeah. and he has a cape.
In space. Yeah, he does have a cape.
Which is kind of weird, you know, because you don't see very many people in Marvel with capes.
Right, and he's looking for, this, like you said, the six-figure hand. The first boss character that he comes to, if you remember the Brood, that were these weird alien creatures that the X-Men fought a lot, these were crime bosses who he's looking for to find information about who killed his family is what he's trying to do, and he's killing the crime bosses. But the Brood from the X-Men were augmented by Venom-like symbiotes. It was so cool.
Yeah, the Queen, she was wicked cool. But Frank Castle, absolutely. He's like, I don't care who you are, I'm going to destroy you. And apparently there's a group of people, superheroes or supervillains that are all tied in together, which they're space versions of those characters. And two of them already, I think he killed two of them already, the Queen, and then I don't want to spoil too much, but.
Right. So, would you recommend this book? Is it a purchase, or is it a borrow?
Well, I'm kind of torn on it because I do have the digital versions, but I have to tell you, you are right. This artist is phenomenal, I like it. That was just one of the things I wanted to bring up, and I didn't realize you were already a fan. But I like his artwork. It's incredible, and I'm on his website, and looks like he does this in watercolor. And I think it's extremely unique, and I like it, so I think that I would probably buy it. For that reason. And the storyline's awesome.
It gets two thumbs up for me.
Yeah, we gotta get
literally.
You gotta get that picture of you doing that.
I know, right? So next on the agenda for the evening, I wanted to briefly talk on a couple of theme park things. I know we're running pretty long.
That's what
here,
she said.
But,
that is what I said.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I am a big theme park fan, big roller coaster geek. One of my favorite roller coasters here was in San Antonio at Fiesta, Texas, which is now owned by Six Flags. It has been for a while now. But they had a wooden roller coaster called the Rattler, and they just closed it down beginning of August, which I was really sad about. But there is a rumor going around now that it's going to be reborn as the Iron Rattler. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be one of these hybrid wooden steel coasters. It's going to be, you know, the base of the coaster will be wooden, but the track is actually going to be completely steel, like a steel roller coaster. And I've heard of these. I have never actually ridden one yet I'm excited for that. Something that'll be close enough to home to visit.
You've never ridden a wooden coaster, you said?
No, I've never been on a wooden coaster that has the steel track.
Oh, okay.
It's a new hybrid thing. It just started, you know, happening the last couple of years, I think, in the scene. So
I was watching this television show on the Travel Channel where they were talking about roller coasters. And I don't know what the show was called. Forgive me for not remembering that. But they basically were talking about exactly what you just said. It's pretty wild and a lot more safe, apparently.
Oh yeah, apparently. I mean, wooden roller coaster will jerk the hell out of you. You know what I mean?
When I was younger, I would go to King's Dominion in Virginia, and they have the Grizzly, and that thing will beat you the hell up. I mean, it's like it's gonna fall over, beat you up kind of way. So it's interesting. I'd probably ride this. I mean, I'm not a big enthusiast like you are, but we're gonna have to test that whenever you
we'll
come
change
here.
That.
Yeah.
The next thing I want to talk about really quick on some Disney World news that I'm excited for. One of my favorite rides there is a ride called Test Track. Have you ever been on that yet?
I have been on that.
Okay. You know, it closed this year, beginning of summer, which is a weird time to close down a ride, but
yeah.
It's going through a major refurbishment.
It needs it.
It did need it. It was starting to get a little stale, especially the beginning part. Basically, they had a live chat with the Disney Imagineer the other day on the Disney blog, the Disney Parks blog. I will post some of the concept picture of this. I'm going to post it right now on our Facebook page so you can take a look at what I'm looking at. They're reimagining it. It looks very, very futuristic. They're taking away the test track part of it, like the inside where you had to go like through the cold part and the hot part and all that kind of stuff. They're taking that away, and they haven't really said what they're replacing that part of it. But the end ride track where you go outside and actually go fast, that is not changing. That is going to be the same track layout that we know and love. Okay. Only the visuals and sound surrounding the experience will be new.
Well, good.
And if you take a look at the picture, it reminds me a lot of Tron. It's very Tron-like.
Yeah, can't agree to that.
So, I mean, that sounds really cool to me.
Well, since I'm so close, maybe I'll have to give you a first-hand experience a review to
it. We'll have to send you down to the park to be the man on the scene. That's right. You live only an hour away from Disney World, and that makes me so jealous.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's a lot different, and it's not that I don't like going. It's just extremely expensive.
I would agree on that.
You know, so...
Yeah, you do have to save up.
Yeah, and... You know, although the one cool thing is that being a resident of Florida, you can make out some really good deals as far as passes. Like, for instance, I live right down the road, Busch Gardens in Tampa, and you buy a pass in January, you'll never have to buy another one for the year. You know,
there you go. So you'll have to hook me up with some passes with your Florida discount when I come down.
Yeah, and the only thing that does not apply though is like special events. So, like if I had a pass for Universal or got you a pass for Universal,
right.
It wouldn't apply to the Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay, all right.
That's still worth it.
So, definitely still worth it. I still want to come down as soon as I get some free time. I will be coming down there. And we'll be going to some theme parks.
It'll be awesome.
Definitely.
And I got to get some cool Marvel shirts.
That's right. You need some geek cred, man.
I got some geek cred, man. I just need some cooler geek cred.
We need to raise your credentials, man.
And my glasses totally sell that. So, in their black horn.
I am getting new glasses myself pretty soon. Ordering them this week. Just got my eyes tested and... Not as bad as I thought they were going to be, but like a 25% change, which isn't too bad. But I'm going to get big, cool, geeky glasses as well.
It's going to fit you.
I think so. So let's get into our next topic because we are definitely running long, and that is what she said.
We got the proof. She said it about 5 minutes ago.
We got proof. She's right there. Very briefly, let's talk about some movie news, and I did see a movie in the theater this week that I would like to discuss a little bit. So there's a report that there's a JLA, you know, there is a Justice League of America movie coming out. The JLA is coming out. And here's the rumor that I heard this week, that the movie is going to be the first appearance of the retooled Batman, and then they're going to be another Batman movie after that. Nothing to do with The Dark Knight.
I can say that they've been saying this for a while now, since the Avengers came out, that they've been hinting at it. So now Justice League is going to have to, but the Batman will be rebooted. So now that you know these websites are, you know, these credible websites, not just the rumor sheets, are confirming that those talks are in place, it's going to happen. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, I know that after watching the last Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises, and you see how Christian Bale looks like, you know, he's getting old, man. And you got to think, is he going to be able to continue to keep playing Batman? It's not going to happen.
No. And I'll admit, I've said it before, I was not a huge fan of that movie, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you did say that. I mean, I'm all for reboots, because you got to think that these characters are, you know, that's the one thing time can't take away is these characters. But the human versions, we get old, you know? And there's so many different variations of these characters. I mean, how many goddamn Batman books are there? And, you know, so like,
there's
you know,
lot,
I had the same conversation with my buddy who had the problem with Marvel Comics subscriptions, which, by the way, have still not been filled. He was telling me, like, he asked me, who, if you had a Batman recommendation to somebody that, say, you know somebody that's, after seeing The Dark Knight Rises, they want to read Batman, you got to think, this ties in with the whole idea of reboots. What do you tell them? What version of the Batman do you tell them to go read? You know, so it's all about character preference.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
But it'll be interesting. I think they're going to do well with it, especially since the Avengers did so well. They have a lot to stand up against.
And this will be coming out in the same year as the Avengers. I'm not sure of the day, but 2015 will be the year. And the rumor that I've heard is the Wachowski brothers. Oh, I can't say Wachowski brothers because one of them is now living as a female.
Wait.
They are currently at the. Well, yeah, one of the Wachowskis is now living his life as a female.
Interesting.
Google that shit.
I will.
It's happened maybe 6-7 years ago, something like that.
Really? Interesting. Yep. Very cool. I think it's cool. I mean, at least he's open about it.
It's definitely cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing against that.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's cool.
So, yeah, they're at the top of the list to direct, and I think they can do a damn good job.
Yeah. Their cinematography would look pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You got to admit, the last two Matrix movies and the Speed Racer movie they did was pretty crappy, but it looked really good.
Yeah, and, you know, if they have, I don't know how much Warner Brothers and DC will have their hands involved in this, and I think that's something that, again, like with Marvel, I mean, these guys can't be stupid about it. They have to follow that mold of you can't eliminate the creative ideas from the people who work with the actual comics, you know? And I think that's what also distinguishes the types of movies that DC's been putting out with other filmmakers. Because too many times, like, I'll use an example of Ron Howard. I think I said this before. You can't give a script to Ron Howard and expect him to give you the product that you want to see delivered. He's going to give you a variation of what he thinks is going to be best. You know, and I think...
I would agree on that, yeah.
And these guys, I think that out of all of them, and I think it was Zack Snyder? His name's thrown into the hat as well, because he's doing the Man of Steel. They're talking about how he may have his hands involved in it.
I could see that, but I don't know. We'll have to just wait and see. And I'm excited for it. I mean, I hope they do a good job of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But
back in the day, you thought there would never be an Avengers movie, but look how well that did.
And Christopher Nolan is involved with the Man of Steel movie too. So you know, they may not be taking it so lightly anymore.
So next bit of news I wanted to mention really quick, which is a little bit of Star Wars news. I'll admit right here before I say this, I am not a fan of 3D post-conversion movies at all. But Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith will both be coming out this year in the theaters in 3D. Attack of the Clones will be September 20th, and 3 weeks later will be Revenge of the Sith. That's not too long in the theaters, man. Looks like feels like they don't have a lot of trust in
it.
You know what I mean?
It's not very long at all, and that's, I think you got a pretty good idea of why they're doing it like that.
They're just trying to get him out in the theaters quickly so they can release him on 3D Blu-ray later early next year, probably.
Yeah.
Trust me, marketing's already working on that. Another thing I'm excited to see in the theater is they are releasing Raiders of the Lost Ark on Blu-ray. The whole Indiana Jones collection is coming out on Blu-ray in September 18th, I believe. And there's a week, the first week of September, Raiders of the Lost Ark will be shown on IMAX.
See, that's cool.
I might have to go do that. I'm going to have to see that.
Are they going
to
be including that shitty last movie that they put out in that set?
Yes, you know, they are.
That
is on Blu-ray
great
as well.
Until they brought in the alien.
Is that an
You know,
that is true.
I've had this conversation with my girlfriend, and we watched.
I had this conversation today too.
And it's like I don't know how your conversation
with my boss
went,
actually
how mine went. We were talking about it, and it goes back to that whole Ron Howard deal. And I know that Steven Spielberg, he loves aliens, so. You know, he's in the middle of making a movie, and he's like, okay, we got this great idea of a movie. As soon as they get inside the cave, let's throw an alien into it. Everybody loves aliens. You know, it's like, and then they have the UFO, and that's just like.
You were at that meeting, weren't you?
I tell you, man, I hate it when Hollywood thinks that they have it right, and they throw this. Some stupid guy sitting at the table is like, well, what are we really going to do at this point? Well, I don't know. How about a talking hot dog? Everybody loves hot dogs. You know, it's like, what the hell? So,
is that Expendables 2 cup in your hand?
Yes.
Where did you get that from, sir?
There's a theater that we go to watch the Marvel movies up. In this place called The Grove in Wesley Chapel. And every time we've gone there, we've been able to get one of these awesome cups for the premiere movies. We actually have a Captain America one as well. And we have the Expendables.
Oh, right on.
And we have the Cars 2, the last one that we recorded. You saw the Cars one. So,
that brings me to a great segue. Because guess what movie I saw in the theater Monday?
Expendables
Cars 2.
Did not see Cars 2. I saw Expendables 2.
How was that?
Here's what I'm going to say about Expendables 2. If you go in expecting it to be a high-budget, explosion-everywhere, kick-ass action movie with not that much of a plot, you're going to fucking love it. If you have been looking for a place to see Stallone, Jet Li, Jason Statham, Randy Couture, with his weird ears that sort of freaked me out. Cauliflower ears, exactly. Who else was in that movie? Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, Terry Crews.
Van Damme.
Van Damme actually plays the bad guy in the movie.
Weird.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away too much, but there's a couple really great lines in the movie. It's like they didn't take themselves too seriously because they threw a lot of cheesy lines into the movie. There was a part where Terry Crews was interacting with Schwarzenegger, and Terry Crews says to him, "Don't make me terminate you." And there's a point where Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis are together, and Schwarzenegger goes, "I'll be back," and Bruce Willis says, "No. You're always going and coming back. I'll be back this time." And he walks away, and then Schwarzenegger goes, "Yippee-ki-yay." So,
wow.
See, that's cool.
That was the best line of the movie, I think.
See, I think that's pretty cool that they're doing all those head nods. I dig it.
But is this a movie you need to go see in the theater? Probably not. If you have a great system at home, Blu-ray player, surround sound, big screen at home, you don't really need to see it in the theater.
Right.
But if you're looking for just a cool action movie just to go waste an hour and a half watching, you can't do any better than this, man.
I loved the first movie. And I don't think I'll go see it in the theater, see the second one in the theater, but I'll definitely watch
it. The guy, my friend who I went to go see the movie with, said he liked the first one better, but I'm totally the opposite way. I thought the first one was pretty forgettable, really. I don't really remember much about it. I thought this one was better. I like Jason Statham a lot. I'll go on record saying that he's my favorite action star.
And
right now,
what, that guy, like we were talking in the beginning of the show, if you really want to do some killer workouts, Google his workout routine. Seriously.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Because, I mean, he kicks ass. I mean, he's a great action star, and he's a great dramatic actor as well. And he's a great comedic timing.
Yeah, Crank. We watched Crank 2, I think, 2 weeks ago, and you know.
Yeah, the Crank movies are great. Have you seen the Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance movie? Okay, because the same director who did Crank did that Ghost Rider movie as well.
Oh, I can see that now. Now that you say that,
so it had that same frenetic, you know, crazy everywhere,
manic characters. Yeah, interesting.
So that's our talk about. Well, there's one more thing on the movies that I would like to talk about. It sort of goes into a Blu-ray thing. Avengers is coming out the end of September, and they've already released a few of the deleted scenes online. Have you watched any of these yet?
I have not. My computer is shitty, and.
Yep.
I just was able to hook up my computer and I got the internet on Sunday, so.
All right on. So the first scene they showed that I watched earlier today was basically an interrogation with Maria Hill. It's supposed to be the new intro to the movie. And it was sort of a weird, sad intro. I'm glad it didn't really fit the rest of the movie. I'm glad they left it out. I'm glad it wound up on the cutting room floor. And the other one, it was a montage with Captain America dealing with losing everybody that he loved. And, you know, there's a part where he found Peggy, you know, Peggy's phone number, and he was going to call her, but he didn't. And then he was sitting in a cafe looking at Stark Tower, and this waitress was flirting with him, and she walks away, and this guy turns over and says, you know, don't be a dumbass, get her phone number, and it was Stan Lee. So the other Stan Lee moment was cut out of the movie, but it will be on the Blu-ray, which I am totally looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the commentary. Definitely would love to hear that.
I'm looking forward to the behind the scenes, all the making of, everything, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to buy it.
So.
And just have the Blu-ray sitting on my TV stand until I get a Blu-ray player.
Dude, just buy a PS3. You'll take care of. Kill two birds with one stone. You know what I mean? So that segues into our TV section. I think we're gonna cut a little bit shorter than we originally planned tonight. But guess what got ordered as a TV series? The pilot has been ordered, at least.
Let me guess. The Avengers.
Close. Oh. Shield.
See, that's going to be cool. That's going to be great.
Yep.
For
ABC.
I agree. I mean, Joss Whedon has signed on to write and possibly direct the pilot. Who else was involved in that, Kim?
I believe it was also his brother, Jed. And I believe it was Jed's wife, Mo. Who they've done stuff together, Dr. Horrible. I believe those two were a part of Spartacus, and if I remember correctly, maybe dropped a Diva. So they've got a lot of stuff going on. They know what they're doing.
Drop Dead Diva. Lost me on that one.
It's one of my girly shows, you know.
I know. I see you watching it every time I'm sleeping late, and I come downstairs, and there's Drop Dead Diva on the TV.
Lifetime, so you know how that goes.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know which characters they're going to really use. They haven't announced any casting or any characters or anything, but I don't know if they can use Maria Hill because the girl who plays Maria Hill, who's Colby Smulders, is on How I Met Your Mother. I don't know how possible it is to be on two different networks at the same time,
right?
Two different shows. Yeah, I don't know how
Samuel
that works. You know
Jackson?
What I mean?
Or, so, you know, how are they going to do that?
I don't think... I don't know if they have enough money to offer him to be in the TV series, you know? And they killed off
agent.
The other main.
The agent, yeah.
Oops, sorry, spoiler alert.
Okay, if you don't know that already, come on. No spoilers. It's been around long enough.
That's right. If you haven't seen Avengers,
sorry.
For TV.
I know, man. But Joss Whedon likes to kill off characters.
But they could bring it back depending on if it's like, you know, kind of like a prequel to the Avengers movie.
They could possibly do that. Agent Coulson. That was an Agent Coulson, yeah.
Or what did Pepper Potts call him?
I mean,
what was his first name?
I don't remember.
Paul or something?
What was his first name? I don't remember. I'll have to buy the Blu-ray and watch that again.
Yeah.
Ding. You know how much money they're going to make off that movie. Oh, my God. Can't even.
Yeah.
So, next bit of TV news that I wanted to talk about is something that's very, it's very strange. There's a proposed Beverly Hills Cop TV series coming, and it's going to be spearheaded by the creator of The Shield. And the rumor that I've heard recently is Eddie Murphy is involved somehow.
Really?
As an actor or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's weird.
What?
It's about 20 years too late.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. It could make a cool TV series, though. I don't know. I mean.
That's true.
There's been weirder shit out there. So, you know, I was a fan of the Beverly Hills Cop movies
back
in the day, you know?
The director we were talking about that killed himself, didn't he direct some of those?
Yeah, I think he did part two.
Yep.
Tony Scott. But, you know, I mean, really, what is Eddie Murphy really doing now? Not too much. I mean, he's not a multi-million dollar box office draw anymore, you know? And his last, the last big thing he was really in was the Shrek movies, and that was just because it was a cartoon, you know. You can't say that the movie did well because of Eddie Murphy. You just really can't say that. So I am going to have to delay our discussion of Alphas for yet another week.
Damn
you! I am still trying to play catch up. Just like what the daddy tomato said to the baby tomato. That's what I'm trying to do.
Ketchup.
Well,
and if you,
it's a great show. They just keep getting better, man. I know I'm not gonna.
You're,
tell you anymore.
Are you caught up in? Are you caught up in season two?
I watched the other one. I watched the newest one last night.
Okay, I am up to season one, episode 8. So that's where I'm standing right now. I should be able to get season one done by the end of the weekend. Well, there's a 4-day weekend for me coming up, so I have a lot of time.
There you go.
That's right.
I will make a promise to you and to the listeners that I will finish season one and I'll be caught up on season two by the time we record next week.
What do you
week.
Think of where you are now?
It's getting better. I just watched the episode where I'm having a hard time remembering the name.
Yeah.
Bill. And what's the autistic
Gary.
Guy?
He's
Gary,
my favorite character,
you.
By the way.
They were trying to catch that the girl who got kidnapped.
Okay.
So that's the episode I just watched. And that was a good episode. It was a good dynamic between, you know, the two characters there, and you could see Gary growing as a character.
Yeah. He's,
you know?
And it's kind of cool. They focus quite a bit on his growth as well, and to the next season. You know, he's very young, so he's still, you know, in his adolescence, I believe, and he's trying to grow and be, I don't know, he's got a lot of social issues, obviously, because he's autistic, which I think is a really cool thing that they're doing. So anyways, the dynamic between everybody. But, okay, put it this way. What you're seeing in season one changes so much in season two with the characters. Yes.
Really? Okay. I'm excited to get into it this weekend.
I
really
like Dr. Rosen, and I love his character. The guy is an awesome actor, and I think that
his
portrayal of a psychiatrist and behavioral therapist, he's playing it perfectly. But, yeah, the way he deals with the upcoming problems, and I'm going to say it now, new characters that are introduced, Yeah. So it's very cool.
Don't spoil it for me now.
I won't.
We both started watching the new season of Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that show, man.
It's wicked, isn't it?
It is wicked cool. That's just wicked cool, man. I'm really digging that show.
I love how they can, for those of you who haven't watched it, it's a sci-fi original series where these, I guess they're makeup artists for whether they be in school or whether they be in just trying to make it into the industry of special effects. They beat these other characters out, and they get to go onto a show and display their skills. And eventually, the ultimate goal is
to
whoever
wins
the show gets to teach at a university in New York.
Take your basic competition premise show, which is normally not something that I like, and put something cool like special effects, or put something cool like doing tattoos, or I even like some of the cooking ones that are really cool. I'm a huge Food Network fan, like Iron Chef, America, and all that stuff. Can watch that shit for hours, and I do sometimes.
Yes, he does.
Like Chopped, love that kind of stuff. I don't really like cooking shows, but I like cooking competition shows. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Well, it has that same type of vibe to it. These guys are given a theme, and they have to, for instance. I think the first show they were introduced to each other, and they were greeted by Sean Astin, from Lord of the Rings. And if you can remember this, he's actually off 51st Dates. He was wearing the really cool top, tank top
in the Goonies.
And so when he greeted him in that area of the top of the hotel, they had to look around them, and anything that they had was a... See, I wish you guys could see what's going on. Yeah, they're geeking out. they can use anything in the area to be inspired on. And I think that's what's most important for me. I think that it's wonderful to see the creative... their muse coming through. And... they did so many weird things, but the coolest thing I liked was what they did with the Star Wars.
That was really cool. There were some really good designs on that, man.
I was with that, I don't remember his name, but he's the heavier, tattooed, artistic, I'm going to say it, probably shouldn't, but he's kind of an asshole, but he knows his shit. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the Simon Cowell of
right, sci-fi. Yeah, one of the judges. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was torn in between two characters, and I was as well, the last two people, or the last two teams. They did phenomenal. I thought it was really cool, especially in the amount of time that they were able to create those characters off the whim, you know, and that detailed. But... I didn't get to see the newest one, but we DVR'd it, and I plan on watching it this weekend.
Right on. Yeah, we haven't watched it yet either, so. We actually started watching that Collector, what's the name of that show?
Oh, yeah.
Collection.
Intervention something. Or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It's one of those, we just started watching it right before we recorded tonight, and about the guy has like 30,000 comics in his collection, and... that's a fun show. I think I can get into that show too. And the guy with the huge Transformers collection.
Sci-fi is getting the shit together, man. They're doing a lot of good things.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I never watched really much on sci-fi. I'm like, oh, it's all crap. But Alpha's really turned me around on that station.
Yeah. Same here. Fifi. Well, there's a guy on Twitter who does the sci-fi handle. He works on the board of directors, apparently. He actually, if you tweet him on Twitter, he'll answer your questions. So it's pretty cool.
I know that Mark Striggle from Talking Metal Podcast works for that station.
Really?
Or he did at one point. I remember talking to him about that.
That's wild.
So let's get the real reason why we brought Kim on here, because we're running pretty late, and I don't want to take up too much more time out of everybody's lives. But my wife, Kim, here is a huge True Blood fan. And I made a promise. I didn't watch the first season with her. I made a promise with her one day to go see Terminator Salvation in the theater. If she went to that movie with me, I would watch every season of True Blood with her. And I think she got the better part of the deal.
Well, so far you've only seen four seasons because there's been a total of five out. So
right.
Not bad, not bad.
I've seen parts of the first season, but
yes.
I brought her on tonight because I wanted to, the fifth season that just ended.
It just ended Sunday, yes.
I wanted to get her opinion on the show and how it's going and just her generalization of how she thinks.
Oh, that's like a big thing. I don't know. It was just, yeah, the fifth season did end on Sunday. You know, I enjoyed it. Each season usually, because the show was created by Alan Ball, was based on books by Charlaine Harris, the Sookie Stackhouse novels. There's 12 books in all. The 13th book will come out next year. And so we're on season 5, and pretty much each season goes by the book, or the main premise of each book. So, like, season 5, the main thing in the book was about shifters were being, killed or shot at. So, but in the season, you know, that was definitely one of the plots, but the books being a first person, you don't really know much except for what goes on with Sookie and the people she hangs out with. So, the cool thing about the show is they've had all the different characters, so the, you know, they may have some new characters. They expanded on different characters,
and you're what they call a bookie, right?
Yes, I'm a bookie. Yeah, this is very geeky, you know. So it's very.
You're not somebody that you go to if you want to bet on a sporting game. That kind of bookie.
No, like a bookie. What they call in the True Blood universe, whatever, a bookie and a truby. Bookie, the person who reads the books. A truby is the person you know who watched the show. So I consider myself both because I had to start with a TV show, but I have read all 12 books. So, I'm a little bit of both, you know, it's hard, and I'm sure you may also agree with me with, you know, the Walking Dead comics, or if anybody's read the Game of Thrones books.
Right.
It's hard whenever you read a book and you know kind of what happens and you see it on TV, or, you know, and if something's different, like, well, hey, this person actually died, and what's going on with this character? So, it's hard to take off your bookie hat and put on the, you know, the movie or the Truby hat,
well,
so to speak.
That's the Ron Howard syndrome. That the creators of the TV shows get.
Right. That's like, you mentioned Walking Dead, like one of the main characters that, no spoilers here, but died in like one of the first two issues of the comic book, stayed around in the TV series for shit ton of time.
Yeah, that's
a lot longer than he should have.
That's the same thing with True Blood. One of the characters in the book one actually died, but in the TV show, this person continued, which is awesome because love the character. Love the character, which I'll say spoilers was Lafayette.
Let me tell you what I thought about the season since I only know what I've seen. I don't know the bookie stuff and all that kind of stuff, but Some of the characters that I've known, they didn't act like themselves in the season. It felt very contrived to get a plot line going.
Yeah.
It was overly religious in that. Okay, there's one true vampire god type of thing, and you got to drink your blood, and other than like 12 or 13 episodes in this series in the show. Mm-hmm. But shit drags on for way too long.
You know, I can kind of agree. And stuff like that, a lot of that, and the whole authority and all that, that was not really in the books. That's something all that was brought up by the, you know, the writers or Alan Ball. And, you know, this being Alan Ball's pet project, he definitely molded it to how he liked, you know. So he didn't want to make it exactly like the books, but there are some things that's like the authority. I wasn't quite that big of a fan. I hate to say that, but it was just, you know.
It was just like that witch lady in that previous season. I was like, okay, they're just dwelling too much on that shit.
I mean, I troll the message boards and watch all the different podcasts and, you know, stuff. And, yeah, I mean, stuff like that in season 2 with Marianne. People just hated Marianne. Or this past, stuff like that.
Right, yeah. And I know they tried to have that over, you know, arcing story type through the whole season.
Yeah.
But I would be happy if they just did a Monster of the Week every once in a while. Just to throw something fresh in each week. That'd be cool.
Well, I know this is Alan Ball's last season. He's going on to do another show. So, wondering with him being gone next season, how it'll be changed up. And so, I'm very interested to see how different it will be next season.
Because some of the characters in the that you get to know a certain character a certain way, they're totally different at the end of this last season. So.
Oh yeah, they grow whether you like it or the way they grew or not, so to speak. Yeah.
Some of them didn't grow.
Some didn't go. Yeah.
Forward, they went sort of backwards in their, you know.
But. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, it's one of those, just kind of see what happens next season, how they're going to spin, especially with the end of the this season with Bill, the character Bill. It's just, how do you go from there?
Were you overly happy with it, or were you disappointed?
I was happy. I was kind of neutral. You know, like I say, it's so hard to distinguish between the books and the thing. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoy the characters. I like the whole they're getting with the fairy war. That was one of the following books, so that'll be interesting. And who this Warlow character is, you know, I definitely am excited to see about that.
All right. Well, appreciate your opinion, because everybody has an opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, what do they say? Everybody has an opinion.
Opinions are like...
assholes?
Yes.
If you don't like my opinion, you're an asshole.
It's like everybody has one, but if you do not like my opinion, you are an asshole.
That's right. Is True Blood a show you? Is True Blood a show you've ever watched on, Michael?
I have watched it once, and I couldn't continue, because I thought, like you said, it was a little... It drug on a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find it interesting, but it was definitely more something that I could see would be appealing to somebody who would be interested in, like, Twilight or... That was just a joke. That was a joke.
You
woke up the dragon there.
No, but it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's why, you know, people like you like Twilight.
Right, exactly. I love vampires that sparkle.
I'm sure you do. On that note, there's a couple other shows that we were going to talk about, but I think we'll hold those discussions off for another episode.
Yeah, I'm running pretty long here.
Yeah, that's what she said again. There was an email I wanted to get to before we take off for the evening. That's from one of our favorite listeners in Mexico, Crazy Chemist. Do you want to read the email?
You can read it. I read it last time. I read one of his emails last time.
All right. Here we go. Hola, amigos. First of all, yes, I'm crazy in a good way, and I'm a real chemist, work in a lab and all that shit. And I'm sure real chemists say shit.
Right.
All that shit, you know, and whatnot. I do chemistry and whatnot.
That's cool.
Never could I imagine that my previous letter would be read on the show. Well, what about this one, too? I just lost it when I heard my name, well, my pseudonym at least. Your comment on the Romero zombie movies, Bruce Campbell and Army of Darkness made me smile. I love all that stuff. One of the fine metal podcasts besides yours that I follow is the Metalcast. They put out some awesome shit, mostly European. You should recommend that one to your audience. Well, I think you just did that.
I've actually listened to Metalcast, so
I do have a fan of MSRcast that actually does episodes on Metalcast, so I have listened to it before, and I do like it. So, yeah, if you're looking for another heavy metal podcast out there, Metalcast is a good way to go. They get the Metal Geek seal of approval. Two thumbs up.
Ding.
Lastly, I'm so fucking bummed that I missed Maiden last week. Couldn't skip work. Fuck. So that's it for now. Keep it metal as always. Long live Dio. Long live Dio indeed, my friend. Pour some whatever I'm drinking out for my homie.
This is your homie.
This one's for my homies. That's how Dio would say it. My homies.
That sounds too much like Nickelback, dude. Come on.
Oh. No.
Nickel crap.
Now I'm
going to
go hang myself.
You know why they call themselves Nickelback, right?
No.
Because everybody listens to them once they're fucking Nickelback.
That was good.
Because that's all the worst. So, definitely thanks for tuning in to episode 4 of Metal Geeks. We are running at about over 2 hours now. I think I'm getting tired. I don't know about you guys.
It's midnight here.
Yeah.
as I stretch. Oh, it is midnight there. You can contact us at themetalgeeks@gmail.com. Send us your, you know, your comments, your requests, any topics you would like to hear in the future. We're interested to hear, definitely.
Indeed. And don't forget, you can win some Xbox Live.
Create
a hashtag, retweet, just get some followers, and somebody will be randomly picked. And
help us get the word out that you like the Metal Geeks podcast, and you can win some free shit, and we will deliver. We're delivering the goods.
You just made me think of something. Hoo-ah. I didn't want to ever think about again. Well, that song, I'm going to have a project for you metal geeks out there. YouTube, Rob Halford and Skid Row covering Delivering the Goods. And tell me.
I think I have heard that.
Tell me what you see on Sebastian Bach and get back to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never wanted to see that, but unfortunately, I think that he wanted to deliver his goods for sure. Yeah.
To Rob? Yeah, you don't have to say anything more.
YouTube it, and I want to know who actually goes and does this, so tweet us.
So yeah, you can find us on Twitter at MSRcast and MSRcast Boltzorn, as well as Metal Geeks on Twitter. You can find us both on Facebook. You are
Juan Miguel. No, it's John Michael. I comment.
You are the most interesting man in the world.
Yes, I thought about going as him for Halloween if we had a party to go to, because I could totally pull it off.
Hell yeah! So yeah, on but Facebook, anyways, you're John Michael Hurls. Am I saying that correctly?
You are right. It's like, think of throwing something. You're hurling it. And then just throw a at the end of it.
I was thinking more of throwing up, hurls.
Yes. Well, I used to describe it as, you're throwing up and spitting afterwards.
Right. And
so you go, hurl.
You can find me on Facebook at Carrie MSRcast Gordon. You can find our Metal Geeks page, facebook.com/Metal Geeks on Facebook. Go over there, like us. Share in all the geekiness that we contribute to. Thanks to Kim over here, we have a new Pinterest page that we are finding lots of cool geeky shit. She is in control of that.
Yeah.
The mastermind behind our Pinterest page. So with a pinterest.com/metalgeeks.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
This is something new. We have a permanent phone number. So if you want to call and leave us a message and, give us a request of a topic or anything you want to talk about, 832-429-6669.
Yeah, call in and ask some questions. We can play your question on the podcast, and then we can address it. So that's
we want to make this a more interactive show. So if you are digging us, let all your friends know about it, tweet about it, like us on Facebook, go to iTunes, subscribe to us there. And like and make a comment, a review while you're on iTunes. It's really simple to do, and it helps us out tremendously.
And read Space Punisher, because that was really good. So
read Space Punisher.
And if you want to, when you leave your message, leave us your thoughts on it afterwards, because if you want to be on a podcast, your voice can be on it. It's pretty cool.
So thank you, everybody, and good night. Keep it metal.
Keep it geeky.
Keep
on geeking.
Keep on geeking on.
There you go.
Enjoy your burrito.
Press done.
Stop.
Hammer time.